May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sometimes I get tickled at brothers and sisters, not here, but if I'm wearing a crucifix, and the statement would be, they'll ask me, well, why do you wear a crucifix? Jesus didn't on the cross. And I'll ask them, then why do you ever have a Christmas creche in your home? Jesus still isn't in the manger either. And so a lot of our arguments are full of hypocrisy, because they're constant reminders of us of certain things about just the plans and the ways of God. And the whole thing about the creche, the reminder to us, is that God's plan of salvation wasn't just that he was going to do something and declare us forgiven so that we could go to heaven one day and spend forever with him. God's masterpiece was ruined in the fall. And his masterpiece, the object of love he created, to live in the fellowship of this triune God who is love, was ruined. And he was determined to undo. He undoes what the enemy does. He didn't just come to supersede the activity of the enemy. He actually took it all back, inch by inch. Kind of an in-your-face redeemer. And so the idea that God would step out of eternity in the time and clothe himself in human flesh is part of God's way screaming to us that about the importance of humanity to God. And that when I was first going to Bible college, and some of the popular theology as a result of the Reformation is just what a worm we are. And all we ever talked about is how sinful we are. One of the reasons I don't like the 1938 prayer book is that all it talks about is what a horrible person we are. Well, we do sin, and he paid a terrible price because of our sin. But the whole incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, is God's way of reminding us how elevated humanity is in his eyes, that we're his masterpiece. And he came to restore to us the nobility and the dignity for which he created us. And he created us to be image bearers. He created us to carry his presence, to live in loving fellowship with his presence, and to express his presence in such a way that we'd reveal the likeness of God. That's our destiny. And as believers, that destiny was restored because of the finished work of Christ. But the finished work of Christ began in the creche. The incarnation was important, as I mentioned to you before, because Jesus came to be an example of us. He came to give us a glimpse of the prototype of the new creation that he came to create. Human being is once again giving manifestation to the reality of God out of a relationship of union, indwelling, affection, faith. So in this passage that Bracken read, this is the prophetic word of Zacharias after he's restored, his ability to speak is restored. And he's speaking about his son, and his son is a forerunner, and what the forerunners come to do to proclaim about Jesus the Messiah. Let me just read a few of these verses before that. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up for us a horn of salvation, a victorious one, a hero God, in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Salvation from our enemies." That's awesome. "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him." The enemies for us, at a practical level, are things like fear, anger, greed, lust, pride, anxiety, brokenness, the effects of the fall. "To grant that we, be delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of Most High." Bracken read this. "For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways," speaking of John the Baptist, "to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. He sort of sums everything up there at the end, and he says, this God, because of the tender mercy of God, the sunrise will shine and visit us to do two things, set us free from darkness, and to guide our feet into the way of peace, to bring us out of the darkness, the fall's effect on us, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And it all flows out because of the tender mercy of God. The word there, tender mercy of God, is a Hebrew expression. A Jew would never say, in the Old Testament, would never say, God loves you with all of his heart. The phrase is, God loves you from his very bowels. That's the word. And when he speaks unto them, to a Jew, that meant like from the deepest, most inward part that can come up out of you. That's how God has compassion for us. So out of the deepest place where he would cry from the cross, I thirst for you, because of that compassion that comes out of his deep, deep inner being, it's literally the word large intestine, bowels, from that place, way deep down. He says he's come to do this, to release you from darkness and to guide your feet into the way of peace. The word peace there is really the word shalom. Shalom is the word wholeness or well-being. He said, what I've come to do out of this place of extraordinary love and compassion is, he uses that word mercy because, you see, what we deserve was condemnation and eternal rejection. So in this way, his manifested love for us came out of compassion. He couldn't bear the thought of it. We're his masterpiece. We're already the object of his love, and he's determined, and incarnation tells us, to restore humanity to wholeness, to bring us out of the darkness, and to restore us to wholeness. This is what it says in Isaiah 53. He, Jesus, was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening for our wholeness, our well-being, the word shalom, fell upon him. And by his scourging, we're healed. And in Luke chapter 7, verse speaking of Mary Magdalene or Mary Bethany, he looks at her at the end of this little story. He says, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this man who can forgive sins? And Jesus said to her, your faith has made you whole. Now go forth in wholeness. So your Bible says your faith has saved you. Go in peace. But the words are, your faith has made you whole. Now go forth and live in wholeness. That's what we celebrate every day of our lives, right? This is prophetic. The incarnation, the Christmas, the crash, Christmas, that's a shout to us prophetically. Don't forget. That's why the seasons of the year are important to Christianity. That's why we can't afford to dummy those things down in the name of false religion. Eliminate those things. God wants us to worship him through time, and time reminds us of the events and the prophetic plan and compassion of God. Christmas screams at us and says, God dwelt in human flesh. Jesus came to be the example of us. This is to tell you, this is what he's come to do again, restore humanity to wholeness. That's what it means to be saved, to be whole. And it all comes out of this deep place of compassion in him for you. It's not because you deserve it. It's not because you earn it. It's not for a select few. It comes out of the raging. I love, I almost did the thing out of Matthew 3 today where he says, the difference between John Baptist's baptism and Jesus' baptism, he says that he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in raging fire. That's the love of God. The word baptize is to place into something. And when you place, it came from the word, you take a piece of cloth, put it in a dye. People say it means dip. No, the word literally means to place into. But once you place it into, it's changed forever. Its identity, it's not the same anymore. Matter of fact, the idea is that you created a white piece of cloth, but your intentions all along was for it to be a red piece of material. So once you place it into this, it becomes what it was meant to be. It's called sanctification. You were placed into the Holy Spirit. You were placed into the raging fire of God, and it's from that, his heart, his motivation, that he wants us to walk in wholeness. And we should never settle for anything less. We contend for that, right? We fight for that till we see it manifested in every area, in every arena of humanity. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.